the mother. I'm back. And in this episode, you will be hearing part two of getting to know your host, Day.
Hey, y'all.
So, Day, you would agree I have seen a lot of versions of you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I would agree with that, too. The child version of you, the baby version of you, mm-hmm. Now this adult version of you.
You forgot teenage.
Teenage. Oh, yes. Teenage version. Teenagers are all different.
Okay.
Because you was all right, though. Probably that's why I just was...
That's a regular teenager.
Yeah.
I meant, like, not doing too much. Some teenagers be doing a lot.
Right. Okay. Right.
I wasn't one of those teenagers.
You was an easy one. Because I had Jayla. I'm glad.
Yeah.
So, Jayla was a whole mess.
It was.
But...
Shout out to Jay. Hey, Jay.
Hey. So I have seen many versions of you, but this version of you, and you are doing some real grown-up trials and tribulations, okay? And living and surviving through them.
Yeah.
I think this is the most eye-opening version of you yet for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you're
me
operating
too.
I know it is. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the woman that you're becoming as you're becoming her. Like, I'm glad that I could see the transitioning and going through it and things like that. Yeah. I like that part of it, I think.
I like it, too. I think I'm seeing my transitions myself, literally. Yeah.
As much as I am your mom, you know, I used to speak for you. Like, I have to speak for you. And this, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to talk with you, you know, woman to woman, mother to mother.
Yes.
You know, and because just as every mother knows, and I know you know now, that motherhood will humble you, stretch you, and have you questioning yourself all at the same time.
Yeah.
And stretching you in ways like to a limit you felt like you got to and couldn't get beyond, but you had to push through it.
For sure.
You know, motherhood, it makes you... to see that you have a strength that you didn't know you had before.
Yeah.
Because though you're a new mother, so I know you're newly experiencing all those things.
Agreed.
With that being said, we're going to keep it honest.
Always.
All the way real.
Only way we know how to be.
All right. We're going to get into it. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. First question. What was your expectation of motherhood before you gave birth? How did the reality differ?
I feel like my expectations, I was definitely that mother that as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I started looking into everything. I mean, like, everything. Oh, what I need to do? I guess I was just going off of, like, I knew what I didn't want to do. What kid I didn't want. My definition of motherhood, I just wanted to be a mother that I guess kind of knew what she was doing, even though I didn't know what I was doing. That probably made no sense, but if you're a Virgo, you get what I meant. I wanted to know what I was doing without knowing what I was doing. So I tried to prepare myself, and motherhood was totally different because even though I tried to prepare myself, it never prepared me for what it actually was. I don't think you can really prepare for motherhood, and that was the reality for me. You can't prepare for it. It just happens. You just got to go with the flow. Because your child, you don't know how your child is going to be. So you can't really prepare for it in a sense. I mean, you can, but you can't. That's what that was the reality for me. I couldn't prepare for it as much as I thought I did. And then when I actually had him, it was like, okay, all that preparing I did, I still don't know what I'm doing.
Like I said, it make you question yourself at all at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
You're doing great. I really think you're doing great. He's thriving.
He is thriving.
He is a whole little man.
But, hey, personalities take up the whole room.
Oh, yes, Mr. Personality. Yes, he is. So your expectation of motherhood before you gave birth was what, though? Like, would you feel like it was more of a fantasy world? Or, I know I heard you say, like, but you know what you didn't want.
Yeah, like I knew.
I get that. You know?
I just was trying to go off of that. Like, I know what I don't want. I know because I didn't see, you know, mothers growing up. And I knew I was like, I won't be that mother. Or that won't be like, I won't be like that. No judge. Y'all know we don't judge over here. No judgment.
Right.
But it's more so just like, you know, you just see certain things in the way people parent and the way they do things. And I just knew when I had my kid, I didn't want to do things like that.
I get that. It went against what you believe that, you know, you want for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
I get that. Okay. So what part of becoming a first-time mom surprised you the most?
Probably having to learn him. What I mean by that is just like, I feel like what I be telling my pregnancy problems, what I call Marina, I'm like, it's because I feel like we're still learning each other. Like, yeah, I'm raising him, but I feel like he's learning me just as much as I'm learning him. And I feel like that's what surprised me the most, in a sense, because I didn't think it would be so, I don't know, because I feel like me and Kay are different, but the same in a sense. Like, Kay is different from me. He's, you know, more lively, full of personality. He's full of energy, which is like so opposite of who I am. And I guess what surprised me is just having to learn that balance of like, okay, still allowing him to be who he is, but still taking the time to recognize who I am and what I need. Like, so I think that was the probably surprising part of motherhood for me. Just like realizing that it really is a learning experience for both of us. For him, he learning me just as much as I'm learning him.
Yes. That is the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I don't even ask you, it was a two-part question. It's safe to say that some of the emotions that you felt were surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. For sure. Surprised and like, oh my God, okay, this is different. Okay. Like, I don't know what I thought motherhood would be. I mean, I didn't expect him to come out knowing, of course, how I am, obviously. That's not what I'm saying. But it's more so just like, I didn't expect it to be so different. But it's beautiful though, because then he also helped me. He teaches me things in ways I didn't think he could teach me. Because, I mean, he's only three. Like, what could a three-year-old really teach? But for real, he teaches me a lot. Teaches me patience. He teaches me to appreciate the small things. Like, I think kids just do that, period. Like, they teach you to, as an adult, it's so easy to get wrapped up in life and you forget to just enjoy it. But having him makes me realize, like, stop, smell the roses, enjoy, play in the water. Like, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. I agree, because he is a fun time baby. That's my baby. So, were there any emotions that you weren't expecting to feel?
Regret.
Okay.
I know that was why. Yeah, but yes, regret, because I was a person who lived my life with no regrets before I had a kid. I never regretted anything. Even if I got in trouble for it, I still didn't regret it. Like, because I wanted to do it and it was what it was, but I didn't expect to feel regret with having my first child, but I did. And that was hard, because it wasn't like I regretted my child, because I love him, obviously, dearly. That's my twin. But I did experience that emotion. I did. And that was surprising to me, because I never thought I would feel that. Not with my first kid, no.
Okay. I get that. And I think some people could understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe more so surrounding the timing, who, the why in that situation. I get that. I know you experienced the emotions up and down when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about that first trimester.
Yeah, and I hated it.
Okay. So, you know, with that saying, the baby is now out, the emotions have to come back down.
Yeah.
And sometimes people experience what they call postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's not talked about enough.
It's not.
I'm talking about in depth, where women could know, even if you experience 1 to 3 of these symptoms, that's how you know you have. Like, they need to know, like, it's levels to it as well.
For sure.
Like, because it's a real thing.
It's very real.
Yeah, hormones control, or like the bullies on the playground.
Yeah.
In the body, so. But we're not going to get all deep into that. But do you think you experienced postpartum?
Sure. I probably was in postpartum depression before the baby came.
What would postpartum?
Okay, we call it prepartum depression then.
Lord have mercy.
I definitely experienced postpartum depression for sure. I was in the thick of it, honey. And mine's, I feel like, lasted way longer than a year, if we want to get technical. I know they be saying, like, it lasted a year, but mine's lasted way longer than a year. I would give my postpartum depression a good 2 years, for sure.
Okay.
I was in it for a good 2 years, yes.
Okay, a good 2 years. Did you know anything about postpartum? Did you read anything? Like, I know you said you did a lot of planning.
I did.
Was postpartum depression something that crossed your path during the planning?
Yep, I read into it. I was very aware of it. I wouldn't say I didn't think I would go through it. I was hoping I wouldn't go through it, but a part of me felt like I was going to go through it, because like I said, I was laughing, but I meant that, like, a prepartum depression thing, because my pregnancy was terrible. So, I was hoping I didn't go through it, but a part of me felt like I might, just because how the pregnancy went. So, yeah.
Okay. You did. I remember you did used to say that, like, oh my God, this pregnancy stuff. Yeah.
I really didn't like being pregnant. I know everybody had their things with pregnant, but I'm not a big fan of the pregnancy part. Just give me the baby. Like, I don't got time for that. I'm not a person who like the emotions being up, and I don't like all that. Like,
oh yeah, you are very controlled. You are very controlled.
And just crying at the drop of a dime, that was just so
yeah.
I couldn't. It was a lot.
Yeah. So this is the perfect setup for the next question. Oh my goodness. So describe your postpartum experience in 3 words. And why those words?
Messy, emotional, toxic.
Okay.
And why those words messy? Because I feel like I was all over the place. 1 minute I'm up, next minute I'm down. I feel like I couldn't control my own emotions. And I never felt like that in my life. Because, like she said, I am a Virgo, a certified one at that. So I am very controlled when it comes to my emotions. I know how to control my emotions and not let people see things and all that good stuff. So when it came down to me feeling like I can't even control my own emotions, oh yeah, no, I did not like that. And so that's why I say messy. Toxic, because it was a lot of toxicity involved in with my postpartum. So, and not even just, I'm not even going to put everything on him, because he wasn't the only one toxic. I started being toxic too, in a sense. So it was, that's why I say toxic. And I said messy, toxic, and what?
Emotional.
Oh, emotional, because I cried all the time. I feel like I'm already naturally sensitive. I am a naturally sensitive person. So that's not shocking. But when I say I cried all the time, I feel like I cried every day. Like, it was cloudy every day. Jesus. So, yes, very emotional, very emotional. But, yeah, that's how I would sum it up.
Okay. So, when was that moment when you realized, like, okay, I'm not okay? And what did that look like for you? Did you have that moment?
Yeah, when I realized that I just wasn't happy, like, you got this beautiful baby and he's just so happy and full of life, but I just don't feel joy. And that's when I knew. Because it's like, how can I not feel joy? And he's here. Okay. And I love him, but I'm not happy. So yeah, that's when I knew it was a problem. Because I wasn't happy. Because I feel like I didn't really get to enjoy my baby, because I was so sad. I was so sad.
Right. Yeah, but there were other outside factors affecting that as well.
Yeah.
Along with the fact that your hormones had to get back in balance.
Yeah.
Things like that. So you had like a double dose.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, and I feel like it was just hard to pour myself out that, I call it a hole. A dark, deep, dark hole. Because that's what I felt it was, a deep, dark hole. And I just didn't see no sunshine. A lot of people always be like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But when I looked at that tunnel, it was just dark. There was no light. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was really dark.
And that's just like, that's something heavy to hear. Because if anybody will hear you say that, most people do see light. Like, light at the end of the tunnel is maybe next week I got this hair appointment that I'm looking forward to. It's always something that we're looking forward to doing, even if it's getting up for work, or I got this thing next week, or it's always something for you to look forward to. And just loving the fact that you have light. But I know sometimes life can get hard as well.
Yeah, it was hard. I just know it was.
That's why I just always kept advocating, look, you gotta go talk to somebody. It's okay to admit when you need to go talk with somebody. A professional, right?
Yeah.
And what's something people said to you during that time that didn't help, even if they meant well?
It gets better. Oh God, I hated hearing it. Like, it gets better. Cause I mean, I know, obviously they're just saying it because I'm in it now and they see how much it's affecting me and how sad I am about it. But in that moment, that was like, I want to say I didn't want to hear that. It wasn't that I didn't want to hear that. It's just I didn't believe it. So it's like you saying that meant nothing to me. Like, okay, yeah, it gets better. It's not going to get better because it's raining. It's been raining. It's still raining. And it's going to keep raining. That's how I felt. So when I would hear, oh, it gets better, it's just like, okay, whatever, I guess. But obviously, it do get better because here I am now. And that's how this podcast is here. Like, if it didn't get better, this podcast would not be here. So it does get better. But in that moment, yeah, that was the last thing I wanted to hear.
Okay. And what were some internal battles you faced during postpartum that people don't often talk about?
Pulling yourself up out of bed. Like, man, that was hard.
Right.
And still just having to go to work. And that was hard. Like, just, I guess, still just living life. Being an adult. That was hard. Because it was the last thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to stay in bed. But it's like, how you gonna do that? You got this baby.
Right.
But it was like, that's what I want to do. I just want to stay in this bed.
Okay.
But yeah.
How important would you say that it is to have support during having like postpartum and after being a first time mom and having just a healthy support system look like?
Support is important. Like, I shout out to my support system, man, because if I didn't have it, I don't think I would have got up out of it. And that's probably like the only reason I did get up out of it is because I had the support that I did have and the people who loved me and just being there and just with me through the storm. Because sometimes when you're going through stuff, you can feel like you're so alone and that nobody understands because they're not going through what you're going through or they don't feel how you feel. Even though you may feel like that, I didn't really feel that way. Like, yeah, I was going through it and I know I'm going through postpartum. I didn't really feel like I was alone. So I guess that's what made it easier to get through because I wasn't alone. If I was alone, man would have been 10 times harder. I don't know how I would have got through it, but I hope I would have got through it.
Right.
Maybe my baby would have been my push, but I don't know. But yes, having support is so important, which is why I stress on this podcast that healing is not meant to be done alone. And I mean that, and with my soul, I mean that, because I stand in it. I believe that. I know it. Like, because if I didn't have my support system, I'm telling y'all, I would not have got through that postpartum because it was hard. It was hard.
And would you agree that the support system also put that mirror up that you may need to see sometimes?
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you could just sulk and sulk and keep replaying all your worst replays?
Yeah.
That support could be like, hey, listen, remind you of the confident person you is. Like, put that mirror, like, remember this, and like, no, come on, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
like, they help you to see your own strength, even when you feel weak.
Yes.
Because that's what I did. I felt so weak, but my support system helped me to see, like, you're not weak, you're strong, you got this, you're going to get over this, da-da-da, like that. So, it just helped you to see your own strength that you don't see at the time. Because you're so low.
Okay, so what did going through postpartum and new motherhood teach you about your strength as a woman?
That I'm really her. Like, because, man, I'm telling y'all, when I say that I know I'm strong now, it's like it's not a thought before. Because I feel like before it used to be like, am I strong? I know I come from strong women, but like, do I have that strength and stuff like that? I would question it because it's like, I don't really feel that strong. But I feel like after going through that and getting through it, because, yeah, I got through it, I can honestly say that, yeah, I am strong. I know I'm strong. Can't nobody say I'm not strong. But it was hard and it was dark and I still pushed through. And I'm here to talk about it now and speak about it. And I could say, like, I got through it and help other people to see, like, you know what? Whatever you're going through, you can get through it. So, yeah, I know I'm strong now. There's no question about it. And can't nobody tell me anything different.
Okay, I like that. You know, I like that. And yes, you do come from a lot of strong women. But, like, I will always say to you, you also got to understand that a lot of the women, when you came in, they were of a certain age, or we was at a certain age.
Right.
So now you understand what the strength, what we got ours from experiences, that is yes. the best teacher.
It is.
And to give you the strength yes. that you need to push forward a lot of the time.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And then you got that perseverance. That's where all that comes from, with the genetics and everything. Like
exactly that.
But experiences play a big part of it, too.
It do.
It puts you in situations that you never thought you would be in. And you gotta be, you're right there. All right, you up. You up. Like, okay. What you gonna do? It's nothing else. You looking around, can't no, it's you. You are up.
Like, for real.
Are you ready or not?
For real. Know? Really just show you, like, you're a fighter. As much as people try to, especially, like, this particular person may try to break you down or whatever. Like, no, you're a fighter. You're strong. You're not gonna let this person win, type thing. Like, don't let them win. And that's kind of what it gave me, like, that. I think that's where I got the strength, because I didn't want them to feel like they succeeded in whatever they was doing. Like, if your goal was to break me down, I didn't want to feel like that you succeeded in it.
I know, that's right.
Like, I wanted to show you that you tried, but it didn't work.
What was I just saying to you? I think, I don't know, was it, what, 2 weeks ago, I think I was reading something or something, and I was like, yeah, when he said, people always talk about anger as a, it's a crazy emotion. Nobody really want to be there.
Yeah.
But one thing anger is a hell of a motivation.
It is.
It is. It will give you the motivation to do something. It will motivate you to do whatever you need to do, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're in that driven, very driven mode, I think. That's what it is, where anger sits. Anger sits in that driven mode as well.
Yes, and it's stages to postpartum depression. Like, just how, like, stages of grief, like they say, it's stages of postpartum, for sure. Because I did have angry moments. I was angry. I was sad. Guilty.
Feeling guilt. Yeah.
All that. I went through, like, man, I can't tell y'all how many emotions I went through throughout those whole 2 years, but trust me, I pretty much went through them all. Like, I can honestly say I went through them all. Each of them had a little length too. It wasn't like, oh, I was angry one day. No, they had lengths. Like, I'll probably be angry for weeks or whatever. And then on top of it, I had, like, this birth control, and I was just angry. Man, I had a lot going on, y'all.
Yeah,
I did.
You did. But look at you, you're on the other side.
And is.
But what would you say to a new mom, like, who feels overwhelmed but doesn't want to admit it? Or have nobody to talk to about it, maybe?
Admit it. That's the first thing you have to do. Yeah. Say it. Like, honestly, this is a lot.
I need help.
Say it. There's nothing wrong with saying you need help. I don't know why people try to make people feel bad for saying you need help. Everybody need help sometimes. And if honestly, you're doing yourself and your child a favor when you do get the help. Because if you think about it, if you sit there, keep trying to push and push and push, you're not being the best mother for your child. You're not giving your child that all. You could say you are, but you're not, because how could you really if you overwhelm? You're never going to be able to give your all. So if you look at it like, me getting my help is helping my child, me be the best mother for my child. That should be the motivation you need to go get that help, because you should want to be the best mother for your child, because one, they did not ask to be here and they deserved it. Like, give them the best version of you. And if that means going to go get that help, go get that help. It is okay. Okay, I'm all for help. Y'all know that. That's why this podcast is here. And then people like to think that help has to come from a person. Sometimes it does not. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's listening to a podcast. Maybe it's watching a sermon. Or maybe it's getting into a religion. Whatever the case may be, help comes in all different forms. Sometimes it's not always a person. But whatever it is, if it is a person, if you do need help, just go get it.
I like that. And that's the truth, especially for our community.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. For sure. And therapy is your friend. It's not an enemy. I don't know yeah. why people look at therapy as taboo. Or I don't want to go say I need help. Therapy is your friend. And all therapy does is help you see what you need to see. And most of the time, you already see it, but they putting it in your forefront. Like, therapy is a tool. Use it as a tool and not as a weapon or something against you. It's not meant to be against you. It's meant to work with you.
Right. And that's the best thing to say, that to use it as a tool, because you may need it. You may not need it in your 20s, but right. maybe bam, something happens, something tragically happens, and you just can't get your way through it. You're talking to the people that you love the most. They're saying things, but to you it's like, what are they saying? I don't want to hear what they saying for yeah. whatever reason it may be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then you got to talk to somebody.
And that's okay.
And once you get past it, you probably don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
You may need it. I look at it as different stages throughout your life. You may need, it's okay if you need that support to go get it.
And quite honestly, I think I'm going to just be one of them people. I'm not currently in therapy, mm-hmm. but I've been to therapy a few times for different stages in my life. Like, I went to therapy when I was pregnant, and then I went to therapy before I had got pregnant too, and then I went to therapy after pregnancy when I was dealing with my co-parenting. Like, I went to therapy at different times in my life. I'm not in therapy right now, but I realize I am going to be one of the people that just go when stuff is too heavy, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. Like, I know yeah. I don't need it consistent. I'm not a person that needed consistent, like, need to talk to somebody every single day. I don't need that. But sometimes, like I said, when stuff get a little too heavy and I know life is just lifing and I feel like it's just loud right now, mm-hmm. then maybe that's when I need to go talk to somebody. When I do, I'm like, okay, I feel better. I got what I needed from that. Now I'm going to use that to my advantage and help me through this, whatever it is that I, for the reason why I needed to go.
Okay. How can someone support a friend or a partner going through postpartum in a meaningful way? What would be your advice to the significant others out there?
I think that's a great question, because I think the best thing you can do is just be there, one. And two, sometimes you probably just need to be a listening ear. Maybe they need to vent. Like, maybe it's just about venting and not judging. Because sometimes they may say something that may be perceived as crazy. Like, oh my God, how could you say that? But don't say that. Like, just let them say it. Because maybe they just need to say it. That don't necessarily mean just because they're saying that they're going to do it or that's whatever. Maybe they just need to get it out, because holding stuff in do more damage than letting it out. Like, seriously. So I would just say, be a listening ear for sure, and be that pick me up for them, just helping to remind them who they are, giving them that confidence, like little confidence here and there, and helping them in ways like maybe with the baby, because that's, you know, because postpartum could get hard, especially if they have a baby that could tend to cry a lot. Like, just helping with the baby and stuff could do more than you could ever imagine. Like, seriously, even if it's only for a few hours, just help, be there, and be a listening ear. No judgment.
Okay.
At all.
So yeah, I get that, like, with the listening thing, because that's what I'm working on with myself, because I'm a mom. I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
You know, moms are fixers. And my adult children, what I need to do now is just listen sometimes and not going into, oh, this is what you need to do to get it, to fix it, to, you know, to do yeah. all that. You know how I get. Yeah. All right. So that's what I'm trying to learn. Like,
yeah.
you understand what I'm saying? So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one thing out the conversation, you know, like in parts, depending on how long the conversation is,
mm-hmm.
and pick the parts where I could say, I felt like that at one point.
Yes.
Because, like, a lot of the times when you need to vent, You just want to know that you're not alone.
Yes.
In certain things. So,
yes.
So that's going to be my way of, you know, slow it down and transition into this new part of motherhood.
I think that's beautiful.
You know, I'm always saying what I could do to better myself.
Yes.
You know how I am.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah. And how me and my kids, that's the most important relationships that I have.
I love that. Because it is a difference if you think about it. Like,
yes,
going from
definitely different.
Them being a teenager to adulthood, you got to be a different type of mother now. You're going to always need your mother. Like, your parents, you're going to always need your parents. I don't care what nobody say. You're going to always need your parents. No matter how old you get, you're going to always need your parents. But I feel like what it make it be kind of like, not difficult, but a change for a parent is how they show up for you. Because, you know, right. You show up for us in different ways. As a kid, you got to show up a different way. Right. But as an adult, you have to show up, but in different ways. Maybe it's just listening, or maybe it's just relating, or maybe it's just, you know, different ways. So I think that's beautiful that you're doing that. I love that.
But you got to pivot, you know.
You do.
And so I get that, which means, like, when you just wanted somebody, when you was in that situation, or your significant other, you know, to just listen.
Yeah.
You
just
know.
Hear me. I don't make me feel bad for how I'm feeling or what I'm saying. Even if it do sound crazy. So what? Just let me say it, because this is how I'm feeling right now. I just need to say it. This is what I feel.
Yeah. And what do you wish more people understood about first-time motherhood?
I wish more people understood that it's hard. It's hard, but not in a way people may think. Like, it's hard mentally and emotionally. Not even just being a mother. Like, it's easy. I want to say easy taking care of y'all, because it's really not. But mentally and emotionally, it is hard. It do a lot to your mental, especially if you don't have the help that you thought you would have. That could really mess with your mental, or especially when it don't meet your expectations you thought it was. Like, I'm pretty sure every mother, or I don't know, but every woman went into like, oh, I know how it's gonna be when I first have a kid, like how it's gonna be.
Okay,
and,
yeah, so
you know,
like to when, like, I know when I get first get married, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantasy. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay,
I know every mother then probably went through that for their first child. Like, I know what how it's gonna be.
I
have my kid, and then when you have your kid and it's nothing like what you thought, that could be hard too. Like, hold on, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This is totally different. This is not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then I think that was the hard part for me, per se, like, dealing with that, because it wasn't what I expected at all. I don't think I had, like, this fairy tale version, but I thought motherhood was going to be, because I always loved kids. I was always known for loving kids. Like, I knew I was going to be a mother. People knew I was going to be a mother before I became a mother. Like, I was one of those girls that everybody knew I was going to become a mother. So, like, of course, I looked at motherhood like, oh, this is going to be fun. Like, I know what I'm going to do. Because I was just always so good with kids. But then when I had my own kid, and it was, man, it was completely different than what I expected. That was the hard, that was the hard part for me, for sure. That was hard. It's not what you expect. I feel like that's what it is. It's not what you expect.
Okay. So this next question, and it's also our last question of the interview, okay?
Okay.
But it's a two-part.
Okay.
So it's going to be about, because this episode was about motherhood and postpartum. So one is for motherhood and one is for the postpartum.
Okay.
Okay. So I say, if you could go back and talk to yourself in those first 3 weeks, say, of motherhood, what would you say to her?
Enjoy it. Love your baby. Enjoy this babiness of him. Because I love that stage, and I feel like I did not enjoy it at all. Because they're not going to be that small forever. They grow fast. Us mothers know that. They grow fast. So really just take the time, like, step to look outside of the whole sadness and all that, and really just enjoy your baby. Enjoy
the
joy. Yes, be in the moment instead of just being in the sadness. That's what I would tell her. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about, like, if you could go back to yourself in those first 3 weeks of after you realize, look, I'm not okay, knowing what you know now?
I would tell her it's gonna be okay. I know, and I would say, I know you don't want to hear that. I know what you, and as soon as I said, if I'm talking to myself right now, I know I would say, I know you don't want to hear that, and I know you're looking at me like, I know it's, you saying it's going to be okay, but it's not. But girl, trust me, it will be okay. Like, I know it don't feel like it, and I know you don't see this light, but trust me, that sun will shine again.
It do. Like I told you, what I told you.
Okay, it will shine again.
What I tell you, I always tell you, everything is going to work itself
yes.
out.
Yes, well, that should does. Be her motto at this point. Like, something she say, that's literally something she say all the time. Anytime I'm going through something stressful and I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm just so tired. I'm just over it. She like, it gets better. It's going to get better. Everything works out. I'm like, oh, God.
It always works.
Here we go. Better, here we but... go with this work stuff off stuff, Mom. It's not working right now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. See, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. See, here's the Virgo in her, okay?
I swear, like, it's so hard for me to, I don't know what that's called, what people call it. Like, the, is it glass half full or glass half, which one is it? Is it glass half empty?
Oh, to be, it's hard for you to be optimistic.
Whatever.
Because you always being pessimistic.
Like, I'm sorry.
My glass is always half full.
Mine's not. It's empty. It be empty. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to get out of that, though, because I do realize I am that type of person that tried to do that, and it's not a good way to be. But I am a person that tend to be in that moment. I be in that moment, and I feel like in that like moment is, up. Yeah, like, this around. Is it. This is the moment. It don't get no better than this. I don't see it. I'm trying to get out of that, though, because I swear it's not a good place to stay or be, man. You could get stuck in that, like, and really just, and it could get you depressed because you just stuck in this sadness. Like, you can't get out because you so, like, it's not going to get better. It's never going to get better. Like, that's not a good way to be. So, I know it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
A work in progress. Working what on I it. Always say, we're perfectly imperfect people.
Exactly that.
And it's good. It's a good place to be.
It is. It truly
growth
is
a good thing.
Well,
it
growth really is amazing. Is. Growth is amazing. Thank God for growth. Like, well, more people need to do it, but you know, yes, thankful for just, it. Growth is important. It's needed. It's mandatory. Yeah. I don't think you can go through this life of yours and not grow at all. That's why I don't understand where stagnation come from. Like, it's not. It does not help you. It does not benefit you in any type of way. Growth is needed. You need to grow. And if you think about it, if you don't grow, how crazy would you look if you, like, say if you 16 and then when you turn 26 and you still acting 16? What people going, like, people going to look at you like, come on now, you a child, grow up. So I don't understand why people don't look at growth like that. You have to grow. Just like when you turn 50, you should not be acting the same way that you was acting at 25. Like, let's be real, y'all. Come on.
Yeah, but that's also one of the things that Daniel Hulse talks about. Adolescent phase.
Yes, yeah. Like, you have to grow. It's needed. It's needed. Who I was when I'm 16 and who I am now is totally different people. I think different. I feel different. I look different. Like, come on, like, everything is different. So, I don't understand how people don't look at growth as necessary. It's scary. Growth is scary. It is. Because it's something that you don't know. And it's unfamiliar. And it's uncomfortable. And who likes being uncomfortable and unfamiliar and stuff like that? But sometimes you need to get uncomfortable. And you need to get in unfamiliar spaces. Because that's the only way you're going to grow. You got to be uncomfortable. You do. Sometimes you just have to. It is what it is.
The other side of uncomfortableness is growth.
It is. It is.
And it's a good place to
it
be.
It is. It is.
It really is. When you look back, it's like, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Like this.
Yes.
You know, I never, like, with the uncomfortable, you got to be uncomfortable. You know, I'm a lover of knowledge and a lover of growth.
Yes.
So I look forward to the future. I love wisdom. Love the fact of getting older. Remember, I was so happy to turn 40.
Girl, y'all know that's me. I be like, I'm about to turn 30. I can't wait. And people be looking at me like, what? Like, why you trying to rush the 20s? I'm not rushing, but I'm just saying, Mama ready to turn 30. I'm ready to see what 30 got to offer me.
Yeah, Yeah, it's like, let's keep that okay. thing forward.
Okay, 20s was cool. Yeah, but come on, 30. Yes. What 30 got to show me?
Still here with all the scars and bruises.
Exactly that.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Growth is such a good thing. Getting older and wisdom is such a good thing.
Yes.
Like, I think it's a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage.
I love
it. That's what it should be looked at. And viewed as, yes. You know, let's take care of our elderly, y'all. Like, yeah. Look in on them.
Be friends with them, yeah. Okay? Because I am a person that be having older friends. I don't care. My friends be like 40, 30. Hey, y'all.
That is not. Why does this girl just say 40, 30? Is elderly.
Elderly, yes. My friends be like 40, 30. And also, I be friends with the, you know, 50s, too. It don't matter.
What?
It don't matter. I never kid. Never kid.
Oh,
hey, girl.
Now, but.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my God.
No, for real. To love your elders. Lord. Respect your elders. Yes. For sure. I don't know why people out here disrespecting their elders. That is crazy to me. Respect the elders, man. I'm not about to get all soap opera, but yes, respect your elders.
Yeah, I was about to say she's trying to get on her soapbox, and I'm going about to take this thing on down because
I'm passionate about that. Y'all need to respect your elders. They are, come on, they got so much wisdom to give. Y'all need to respect them, seriously.
Yes. Thank you. Put that out there more. Yes.
They
how
do.
You think you want to know about the history? You got to know your history to know where you're going.
Exactly.
Okay?
That.
Hey guys, I'm just so glad that y'all tuned in for getting to know your host today. And I just wanted to say to you that I'm really proud of the way you showed up in this conversation. Because I know you. And I know when you're trying to be uptight, like hold back, you know. You know, but I think you was completely open and I like that. And you did not know what I was going to ask.
I didn't. I did not know none of these questions, y'all.
Yes, and she the one needs to. I need to see him before she, you know, she got to control everything.
Okay, let me prep. Let me prep.
Right. So I was like, no. We're going to do it this way. And I love that you showed up.
And
did. You did.
For y'all. Yes. I really do love this podcast, y'all. And I want to show, I feel like the only way this podcast is going to grow is if I be more vulnerable and just really show y'all why this podcast is here, why it exists. The more genuine you be, the more people feel it, okay? Mm-hmm. Y'all feel me. I know some people going to feel me, especially my mothers that been through it, y'all going to feel me. Because, yeah, it is relatable. And this is real life. We all go through it and it is okay. As long as you get through it, then that's all that matters. Y'all know what I say.
That's what it's about. We may not have everything figured out in this life or right now or in the moment that you're sitting in. You know what I'm saying? But just be honest about where you are and always be honest to yourself.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
That's the only way you're going to grow through something.
Yes.
You have to be honest. You have to sit in it. You have to be honest.
You got to go through it to grow through it.
Right. That's right. You know, I love that. Right. You know, it's like, I know when you were just like, my mom's so damn deep over there at time.
And that's why I'm probably so deep, y'all. People it always is. Be like, oh my God, you're so deep. Even my friend Keith was just like, why you always got to go deep with everything? I don't know no other way.
Oh my goodness. Yes, because I love a conversation that's real. And I love the uncomfortableness. I like all that because that's how you know. That's how, like I said, I know growth. We done probably said 1,000 times this episode, however. But that's what it's about.
It is.
That's how you know you're sitting in that full of, you're trying to get some growth out of it. You understand?
For sure.
And that's where the good stuff lives.
For sure.
Of life.
You know, sure.
That's where you're going to learn stuff at. Okay?
Agreed.
You owned your story. You didn't try to dress it up. And I respect that. And you know, that's, I respect realness and honesty and transparency. You're getting a little better with that, with your clothes and stuff. You're not very well to keep
right, for sure.
I'm like, man, say it. Talk about it. Get it off. Like, I get it off. But
it do feel better. Like, it's a release. You're releasing it. You letting go of the power. It's power on you when you talk about it. For sure.
You let that power, it loses its power.
It
does. Definitely. And like, because I always tell you, that's what people connect to. The most, the truth.
Yes.
Not to perfection.
Yes.
Who cares about perfection? Nobody cares about that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you have people that care about it, but they know they don't shouldn't be caring about it either. It drives you insane.
Nobody's perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Trust me. I have to tell myself that.
it's a bar you're trying to reach that you'll forever be trying to grab. It makes no sense, you know.
It's not there.
Yeah, it's just a headache. So
it's just not there.
It is not there at all. Now, to everybody listening, if you felt seen, triggered, inspired, or all three at the same time, then yeah, that's intentional. Okay. Sit with it. Think about coming and tell your story on an episode of Surviving Me. And you know what, guys? I'm the mother. You know, that's my time of being a little bit of my baby business. Okay. So, Day, we'll talk to you guys in the next one. Oh, and I know I will too, right?
Yes. We're doing part three. And part three, it's going to get messy. We want to talk about the baby daddy. We talking about him and everything. Not ooh. We want to talk about, that's going to be the final, part three is the final thing of my story, but it will get into the baby daddy and everything I went through and the co-parenting and everything I'm still going through to this day. But, you know, we're going to say that for that episode. And so make sure you tune in to the next episode and the last and final episode. And like I always say, no matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Keep going through it. Keep growing through it and keep glowing through it. And we will see y'all next episode. Bye.
Bye.
I've battled the silence. I've wrestled the shame. Faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure. It's deeper than deep. I'm surviving.